Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
To my friend Nate and all the listeners of this podcast, no one circles the wagons than Nate Desgate. Circle the wagons, Buffalo.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
It is Buffalo Bills free agency, 2024 free agency. Lots of players leaving, some new players coming, and some other players staying. So we've got a lot to talk about in this episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. Hello, everyone. My name is Nate. I am the host of Circling the Wagons, and I'm with my co-host, John, to discuss the Buffalo Bills 2024 free agency. We weren't here the last few weeks. I was on vacation, wasn't able to get to a microphone out of the state. So now we're here. We're going to discuss the players that have stayed, the players that we've let go, the players that are coming in, and some potential needs of new positions, new players that could come around because we have some holes. We have our big board of Buffalo Bills needs that we have to go over. John and I are going to discuss that in this episode, like where we see the biggest needs, where they could fill that in free agency, or possibly look towards the draft as we finalize that. But first, I'm joined by my co-host, John, to break down all these moves, everything that's happened over the last few weeks, and everything that could still happen in the next few weeks. John, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Free agency is always exciting, always has been, and with the draft coming up, just over a month away, it's good. I like this time of year.
Yeah, every team's getting better. No one's getting worse. It feels like everyone's only positive, except for the Bills at the beginning. They made a lot of news for letting go of so many players, right? Like it felt like they were the only team that was releasing like a bunch of really well known, you know, Pro Bowlers, All Pros players like that of any team out there. So they needed to get, you know, cap positive, or we're going to talk about those moves, but usually it's not like that. This was, John, just in general, like, especially the way this started with all those releases, it felt like this was the biggest change and turnover of key players on the roster that's happened since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have been here. You know what I mean? Like, this felt like the biggest, like, wow, we're actually like losing people. We're actually losing good players for the first time. And I understand their reasoning and their logic behind all the moves. But like last year, we lost Tremaine Edmonds. That was the biggest loss that we'd really had in the tenure, I feel like. But this last couple of weeks, the losses of Tre'Davious White, Micah. I mean, Micah Hyde was a free agent, but like the cuts of Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse. It just felt different, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely the most significant of this era. There were people comparing it to when Thurman Thomas, Hunter Reed, and Bruce Smith were let go, but it's not the same as that.
No.
By any means, on different levels. Most of it was expected, though. The only unexpected thing I would say was Mitch Morse. Everything else, I think we're kind of like, Tre'Davious White was one of the first things I had mentioned in earlier podcast that like they're going to cut him, and it's unfortunate. I love Tre'Davious White. I'm not saying that I don't, but it's just a necessity at this point. You know, it took him a year and a half to come back, and then to, you know, and look good again, and then another injury. It's just really unfortunate. I feel bad for the guy, but Jordan Poyer, he clearly had lost a step. And then, you know, Deontay Hardy didn't really contribute that much. Nyheim Hines is another unfortunate case. But, like, you know, that would, I mean, they say $5 million from cutting. Like, most of this was expected. And the same thing for the free agents loss. They weren't going to re-sign Dane Jackson or Leonard Floyd and no. So even Dodson. So Gabe Davis, we had already talked about before.
A lot of the things that we talked about before free agency happened that we thought was going to happen. Now, the biggest, like, so let's go into like biggest surprise or maybe even like biggest disappointment so far in free agency from any movement, like, you know, either a guy coming in or a guy leaving. And I'm going to start like just positionally, which was the biggest surprise and disappointment for me, was the release of Mitch Morse. Because when we talked about it before free agency, like, we wanted to keep Mitch Morse. We're like, who do you keep, Daquan Jones or Mitch Morse? We're like, Mitch Morse. He's the linchpin of that offense. They don't really have someone. I mean, they did at the time. They had Ryan Bates, technically, before he was traded to take over that position. So, like, okay, I get cutting him, but then they traded away the other guy that could have played center. So, I mean, Mitch Morse is one of those guys that just, like, the moment he walked in the door, he just seemed like a Buffalo guy. You know what I mean? Like, some players are just like that. So I think, I mean, around the community, the way that he talked about everything, the way he just felt like a Buffalo guy. And he was one of their most talented offensive linemen for a while, just because, you know, they didn't have a ton of talent there. Now they have more talent. So, you know, he was still had one of the best seasons of all the offensive linemen last year. I think it was just disappointing. I didn't expect it. It stinks because I don't think we necessarily have a great backup for him right now, since they did trade Ryan Bates. I think it's more so they say that Connor McGovern is going to take over at center because, you know, let's face it, Brandon Bean needs to say that there's someone there to take over at that position, because if he doesn't, then everyone's going to know that he's going to target him in the first round of the draft, right? So, like, if he's not like, oh, yeah, Connor McGovern, if he's like, no, we don't really have someone there, it'll be like the year that the Bills traded, or the Bills needed a cornerback because Tre'Davious White, which we just mentioned, was coming off an ACL injury. They needed a cornerback, and who did they draft? The Chiefs went ahead of the Buffalo Bills and drafted Trent McDuffie. So the Bills had to take Kyir Elam because it was that big of a need, and everyone knew that the Bills wanted a cornerback. So anyway, that was my biggest disappointment. The one I liked the least, I guess, of all the moves so far. What about you?
So, I mean, to play devil's advocate a little bit on that one, I definitely agree. I mean, we talked about Mitch Morse, and I was all for keeping him, despite, you know, the concussion history and getting older and everything else. But they kind of have a plan A, B, C already. Connor McGovern is plan A. Alec Anderson would be plan B, and then a draft pick, since they have 11 of them, you would think one of them would be interior offensive line, would be plan C. So they kind of have that still. Aside from that, it might still be the most disappointing for me, but if I had to pick something else, I might say Matt Hawk. Like,
yeah.
So we're talking about like kicker and punter and stuff, right? Like, as towards the bottom of our needs list, because they're kickers and punters. Because, like, you know, Sam Martin got injured, okay, whatever, but he still wasn't spectacular in the year. And like, they signed Matt Hawk back, who was not good.
He was awful. He was terrible.
So, like, all right, so now it's a punter competition between. So Martin's probably gonna win it.
Yeah, exactly. We were hoping for like a potential upgrade or someone with upside, and you're like, this is the worst free agent that we've ever signed, Matt Hawk.
Right. I would have picked Mitchell Trubisky, but like, if Allen goes down, then it doesn't matter who the backup is. So I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Like, yeah, I was kind of like, really,
it doesn't matter if it's Kyle Allen or whoever.
Yeah, I know.
Done if Josh Allen goes down.
Exactly. Mitchell Trubisky signed a 2-year, $5.25 million deal. I mean, it's almost, I mean, it's not that far above, what is it, like, league minimum is like, what, $1 million or something like that. If you have that much experience, $1.5 million, so he's not making that much more above. Whatever, that's fine. Like you said, if it goes down, like, I don't have any faith. I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to afford, like, a Gardner Minshew or anything like that that we all want, you know, as a backup for Josh Allen. So we're going to get the bottom of the barrel, and that's fine. They're friends, apparently.
How about the Steelers? They get Russell Wilson, and then they're like, "Oh, you know what? We'll get Justin Fields too. We'll see what happens." That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Because, like, I don't think either one is more than a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But like, they get a year to kind of like look at what they have and then go from there. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's smart. If you think about it, they went from like having no quarterbacks on the roster, you know, seemingly to having two potential starters. You just need one to outshine the other, right? You just don't need them to both torpedo and be terrible at this age. But yeah, that's really funny. The Matt Hawk sighting was disappointing, I guess. Yeah, I wanted someone better, and I'm sure you were thinking that too. Punt God got signed by the Chiefs, which we mentioned, you know, last episode. One thing that I will mention disappointing, and this is just on an emotional level, because you mentioned Tre'Davious White. I mean, it sucks losing Trey White. It really does. I mentioned how Mitch Morse was Buffalo like through and through. Like Trey was Buffalo like the moment he was drafted. I mean, he was our first draft pick of the McDermott era, and he was really good. And he was so likable. He's got such a good sense of humor. I mean, there's just that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. More than the Poyer, more than the Hyde, you know, things, more than Mitch Morse. That one was just purely emotional, not because I think like he can definitely play at a high level. I think he probably could in another year or so, like a high level, maybe not as high of a level as he played with us recently. But yeah, that one stung a little bit on an emotional level, more so than I think he's worth the money. Why did you get rid of him sort of thing? But it is what it is. It's a business. We'll always remember Trey. Hopefully he somehow like retires as a Bill or something or comes back. You know, who knows? Who knows? We'll see. Favorite. John, now what is your favorite free agent move, signing, release, whatever, so far in free agency this year?
Oh, this is tough.
You could even do extension because there have been a couple of extensions. Guys that were not set to hit free agency that got extensions. I'm saying Deion Dawkins had a 3-year, $60 million extension. Taron Johnson just got a 3-year, $31 million extension to be the highest paid nickel cornerback in the league. Like, I mean, there's lots of things to choose from.
You're not making this any easier by throwing more variables into
it. I know.
It. Like, oh, you can pick this too. All right. So I'm going to break it down I'm going to figure it out this way. I'm going to talk myself through it. So my favorite new signing so far, which hasn't been a lot of new signings, is Curtis Samuel. Really nice slot receiver. He can do some different things. But they also retained a bunch of guys, and that's hard, right? So they re-signed/extended David Edwards, starting guard, Daquan Jones, starting defensive tackle, and then the Epinesa one is nice too. And then at safety, they also retained Taylor Rapp and Cam Lewis. Which, I mean, if they didn't do that, then it would just be DeMar Hamlin, basically.
Yeah.
So that's a lot to pick from.
You can rank them.
That's not counting, like, Von Miller reworking his contract and taking a pay cut. Knox took a pay cut and, like, dude, other extensions. Like, there's all these things. They did a lot of good things so far.
Dude, I'm glad you brought up the pay cuts with Knox and Miller. Von Miller taking a pay cut was one of my favorite moves. As sad as that is, not my favorite, but it is one of my favorite moves. The fact that he did that he was willing to do that, the fact that the Bills could get him to do that, like, I love that.
Yeah, I agree. If I had a pick, I'm gonna say re-signing Daquan Jones.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, John. John, is it for everything we mentioned before the, you know, free agency, the last episode that we did before free agency? Because I mean, it was just like the defense is a different defense. Ed Oliver plays differently next to Daquan Jones. Daquan Jones is the best defensive tackle they've had at that position in the McDermott era. And they've brought in so many. I mean, they brought in Puna Ford. They brought in Linval Joseph. They brought in, like, I mean, Tim Settle. They just Jordan Phillips. They keep on bringing in guys, and no one's been better than Daquan. No one's made nearly as close to an effect as Daquan. So that all those reasons why I'm with you. I love if they had signed or released Mitch Morse and not signed Daquan Jones, I'd be pissed right now. I'm like, are you kidding me? We didn't even get Daquan and we got rid of Morse. Like, what are we even doing here? At least I can like somewhat justify it in my head that it's okay. It's all right. At least we kept Daquan. What about I like how you mentioned Cam Lewis. It's not one of my favorites, but I do like it. We technically have two starting safeties now with Taylor Rapp at the Jordan Poyer position and now strong safety. And now we have Cam Lewis, who's a cheap potential starter, 2-year, $3 million contract. We're talking vet minimum here, but like, I mean, there's a potential that he starts there. He knows the system. He's been here forever. Like, I like that signing.
Cam Lewis is significant too because he can play corner as well. And we heard today that Julian Blackman is visiting Buffalo, safety from Indy, and he's a younger guy. And you know, they're probably going to want to sign a couple of safeties before the draft, I would think. And there's a bunch of safeties still available, including Micah Hyde, by the way. So you never know.
Oh, don't stop it, John. Don't tease me like that. It's like when a girl breaks up with you or something, and like, you know, you're starting to get over her, and it's just like one of your buddies like, hey man, she might come back, and you're like, don't say that. I don't even want to think about it, even though you know it's not good that she would come back. So it's not quite like that with Micah Hyde. It would kind of be like that because Micah Hyde coming back isn't a great sign. It doesn't mean that, like, it's not like he's gotten better since last year, right? I mean, it's unlikely. So
he's got the injury history. It would be cheap, though. That's the thing.
It'd be very cheap. Like, you gotta figure someone else is going to pick him up, but someone else is going to be a starter. There's going to be an injury or something, but because he is healthy, so yeah. Hey, what'd you think of while we're talking about safety, Bill safeties, former safeties as of now? What'd you think about Poyer going to the enemy, the Finns, the Dolphins?
Well, I don't know. He's really good at making tackles 10 yards downfield this year, last year. So, you know.
It's like when that happened.
I love Poyer. Don't get me wrong. I love Poyer. Stop it. I'm not.
You stop it. You're the one that's. You're like, stop it. Stop it. It's fine. We love him.
You're like the reporter asking the question, like, I'm going to try to get him to say something.
So you hate Jordan Poyer right now, John? Dude, like, it's so funny. People were surprised that that happened at all. I can't believe he went to the Dolphins. Like you mentioned, Thurman going to the Dolphins. That was so much different. I mean, it was similar because it is at the end of both of their careers. Like,
Thurman Thomas found out he was cut by watching TV, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one difference.
Don't you think, though, like this is just a general, you know, free agency thing, but like the release of all those guys, like, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a good thing that Bean did that? Because he allowed all of them to talk to representation before the tampering window. So like, he did them a solid by doing that. Like, he didn't have to do that before.
Yeah. Bean is, I like Bean for a lot of reasons, and that's one of them. The other thing of note is, like, a lot of these players that were lost were defensive players. And if you look at last season, the defense was riddled with injuries and they still played really well and at a high level all the way up until the last game of the year, for some reason, the Chiefs played their best game on offense the whole year.
No kidding.
Which was unfortunate, but I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think signing, extending Taron Johnson was part of that key, because he's the veteran back there now, you know, obviously besides Rasul Douglas, but, you know, he's been here the longest. He's the captain back there to take over with White, Poyer, and Hyde gone. And those guys were the three staples of, you know, the secondary. So it's all new. It's a youth movement, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So other moves that I liked, you know, Poyer going to Miami, Poyer going to Miami was not a surprise at all. He lives down in Miami. They were interested in him last year. I'm not surprised. I don't hate it. It's like, you know, the guy balled. Like we said, we love Jordan Poyer as far as, like, I mean, he tried really hard. I mean, he drove to Kansas City and back with a punctured lung for us, you know, like, for the team, not for us as fans, but you got to respect that. You got to respect the hell out of it. He played his heart out. He was good in the community. Going to miss Poyer for sure. Other free agent moves that I liked, obviously the Josh Allen, you know, restructuring, which was going to happen. We knew that was going to clear almost $17 million in space. I like how we haven't even mentioned this guy's name yet is very surprising, but Curtis Samuel, he's one of my favorite moves so far in free agency. I didn't necessarily see it coming, but I'm really excited. John, did you like that as much as I did?
Yeah. So I did mention it before.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
I glossed over it when I started thinking about the, very quickly when I started thinking about the resignings that they made, but, I think it's their best new signing so far. He's probably going to replace Khalil Shakir, which a lot of people were high on, including myself. But he is an improvement there still, I think.
An improvement over still, Gabe Davis, or just in general to the wide receiving core?
An improvement over Shakir.
Shakir, okay.
I think they still need a number two receiver, and I think that's going to be addressed in the draft at this point.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the Bills don't look at this signing and like, well, we don't need to take wide receiver in the first round. It's like, no, you could still upgrade. Like, you could still get a better player than Curtis Samuel, or maybe potentially over Stephon Diggs in the first round.
Yeah, unless they get like Mike Williams also, which doesn't seem likely. But yeah, I think they're going to have to draft a guy and maybe two guys.
So Curtis Samuel got a lot of looks in the slot. He's also been playing on the outside. Sometimes he lines up in the backfield. He's a versatile player. He's a fast player. He had a 4.31 40-yard dash. Lots of things to like about him. He's got he's got good hands. Think of him like a younger Emmanuel Sanders, right? Like when Emmanuel Sanders came here, he was like 32 or 33, and he was done with his career. Still fast, still a good weapon. Like John Brown, still like kind of fast, but at the end of his career. Like Curtis Samuel isn't at the end of his career. Like he's still got some years left in him. So he's got the speed. He's got better hands. He had his best season under Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator in Carolina. Carolina when he was with the Panthers. So, I mean, if you looked at the quarterbacks that Curtis Samuel has played with and he's put up still like decent 600-800 yard seasons, like that's pretty good. Josh Allen does bring out the best in his wide receivers.
I like how you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders. I think he had jersey number one.
Yeah. Is that what Samuel is?
Curtis Samuel's going to be number one too. He's definitely a versatile player for all the reasons that you listed. And I think he's better than like, he makes me, so last year when they picked up Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy, they were kind of meh to me, where Samuel's to me is a better pickup than those guys were at the same time last year.
Yeah, he moves the needle, but he's not, obviously he's not, one of these $14, $15 million guys, but...
No, but he's got a much lower floor, I think. He's going to definitely contribute. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be at the expense of Shakir. So, like, people who are looking for Shakir to break out, I don't know if that's going to happen now.
Yeah, I agree. Do a lot of the same things. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they use him, how they're able to utilize him. Are they still going to do two tight end sets? Are they going to do more, three wide receiver sets? Because right now, don't forget, Shakir can play on the outside as well. He did so in college. He did so with the Buffalo Bills. Like, he can play on the outside, so he's not. So right now, the Bills' starting three receivers are Diggs, Curtis Samuel, and Khalil Shakir. So that's still the case. So, I mean, either they're interchangeable at this point. Like, one could be in the slot, one could be outside, vice versa, right? Like, we just don't know. It's not like, but you're right. It is more likely that Curtis Samuel is going to get the bulk of the snaps over Khalil Shakir at this point. But we'll see what happens. So, that was my favorite. I did it. Go ahead.
The thought just entered my head, well, what if they don't address wide receiver in the draft?
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that, John. Jeez. I should have just kept talking. I didn't know you were going to bring that negativity right now.
Because then you got like a couple of guys that are predominantly slot, but maybe sometimes play outside. And then you got Matt Collins, kind of meh. There's a lot of, they could make do, but it's not. They got KJ Hamler they brought in. Maybe he could do something.
Matt Collins reminds me of like who's that guy? Who's the touchdown Jesus that we had a couple of years ago? Kind of reminds me of him.
That receiver?
Yeah, receiver. What was his name from the Packers? That Aaron Rodgers was upset that we...
Yeah, I know you're
talking. You know what I'm talking about. And he's a guy that has huge size. So like 6'4", potentially... something there, but just like Trent Sherfield, like we said, Trent Sherfield, like, oh, maybe there's something there. There wasn't. I don't put any thought so much into these kind of guys like the Deontay Hardys and the Trent Sherfields. Like, in my head, it's like, it would be great, but I'll believe it when I see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They also got Justin Shorter on the roster, but the thing that concerns me about that is, like, I know that he got injured, whatever, but it almost seemed like it was... I don't know if it's true or not, but it almost seemed like it was just a roster move to kind of sash him there.
Agreed. It did seem like that. He's played healthy in the last preseason game. And he's come down with an injury. Yeah. I wonder if it feels like the Bills have done that before. Like, didn't they do that with Isaiah Hodgins a couple of years? Didn't seem like Isaiah Hodgins was truly injured. And all of a sudden, he's on the IR, like, right before the season. Like, really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see. I wonder if that ever comes around and they, like, lose picks because of it. Probably not. I don't know if every team does that, but Bean's good at doing it.
Speaking of losing picks, like, shouldn't it? So the Bills got a fourth round pick for the loss of Edmonds. But, like, everything that I read is it should have been a third round pick, right?
Yes. Yeah. I read that over Twitter. There's this, who's the comp pick guy on Twitter? I can't remember who it is.
I don't remember.
I retweeted it. There's a guy who does all this, you know, does all this data and everything in the background. And he said that this is one of like two or three that the NFL really got wrong. And yeah, the Bills should have gotten more for the Tremaine Edmonds. Yeah, I can't find it. I can't find it. But basically, yeah, everything you said, they should have got. And everyone, I mean, I was listening to Joe Biscaglia talk about that. He's like, Brandon Bean thought he was getting a third round pick for that. Like, you know, like he was convinced, like people thought that. So that's kind of a gut punch a little bit. I mean, obviously, having a third round pick is a much better, you know, chance of finding a starter than fourth round pick. It makes me think that they're less likely to trade up potentially, but we'll see. It all matters
at least a 32 pick difference, depending on how many picks are in between for those extra picks.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Huge. Huge. So
can you trade those picks? I can't remember.
Yes. Now you can. You weren't able to up until about a couple of years ago. Now you're able to. We were talking about, Curtis Samuel versus Gabe Davis, right? Like at that position. And I put a poll on Twitter, like you could have Curtis Samuel for $8 million a year, which is his contract, or Gabriel Davis for $13 million a year, which is what he signed for in Jacksonville. What do you choose? And over 95% of people picked Curtis Samuel's contract. Like of 1,000 people voting, it was, you know, it was a no-brainer. To me, it's a no-brainer too. Like I like Gabe Davis. I didn't love him. I don't love him $13 million worth. You know, like it's just,
no, yeah, it's too much, and we knew that it was going to go down like that. So
yeah, you and I talked specifically about that before the season in regards to he's going to do one of two things: he's going to like price himself out because he's going to play well, or he's just going to price himself out because he doesn't play like garbage, and he didn't play like garbage. So there's no way that they were going to retain him. I mean, he was just,
yeah. It didn't matter how good or bad he did for us in the last year. There's no way they're going to be able to retain him.
Yeah, they don't have they didn't have that cap flexibility this season. Let's see some of the other moves. You mentioned Taylor Rapp. I like that. I don't love that signing. It's okay. I thought he left a lot on the table. Everyone will remember, obviously, the Dolphins' interception that he had against Tua over Tyreek Hill, which was obviously a great play, but. I mean, he didn't have an underwhelming season, but there must be something that the, you know, Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott and the Bills defensive staff that they really liked, either the way that he picked up the system or whatever, because they signed him to a 1-year deal last season. We thought he could have been a starter. We thought that was a great pickup, by the way, is like depth, right? Like it's like a 1-year, $2.5 million deal. Like it was great. And now he signs a contract extension. I'm just curious to see, like, if he picks up and he can be coached up well enough to play at like a Jordan Poyer level, you know, level of play, because I'm not convinced that at this point. I'm just kind of hoping he does, you know?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be as good as Poyer was at his peak. He's definitely a really hard hitter and I like him, but there's always the risk of that 15-yard penalty.
A little too hard. Taylor, dial it back. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely the worry about that for sure. But I mean, they have a starter now, so in that position, so it's one less of a need.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
John, do you want to talk about any of these other signings? I mean, we talked about Miller, Hawk, Trubisky, Deion Dawkins extension. I was happy they extended Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins had a great year last season. You know, the only mark I'll say on the Deion Dawkins season is that play against the Kansas City Chiefs game in the playoffs when he got bumped or he got pushed back by Chris Jones, which, you know, let's be honest, like 99% of all tackles would be pushed back by Chris Jones, the best, you know, defensive tackle in the league. And he got pushed back into Josh Allen when he was releasing that pass to Khalil Shakir in the end zone. That's the only knock I'll put on Deion Dawkins. Otherwise, I love him. I'm glad he's going to be there to stay. Guess, John, pop quiz. Guess who is the oldest player on the Bills offensive roster?
Stephon Diggs.
Yes, it is Stephon Diggs. Good call. Good call. 30 years old. He is the oldest player on the Bills starting offense. Youth movement,
which,
man.
It's pretty incredible. Like, yeah, 30 is the oldest. That's so, like, I think the only ones that we didn't talk about too much were, I just had it in the last.
Ty Johnson got re-signed.
Yeah, that was one of them. Ty Johnson. So
Nick, like, Morrow, probably, Nick Morrow, the outside linebacker.
Yes. Morrow was the one I was going to talk about. So he kind of seems like a replacement for me for Dodson. He's good against the run, not so much against the pass. And he's got starting experience. He's probably going to be more depth for them, considering they have Milano and Bernard and Dorian Williams.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of my favorite things to do is look at tweets or posts on, like, message boards after a player has left a team and see what those fans are saying, and they didn't have a whole lot of good things to say about this. I'm just going to read a couple of comments.
But were the comments before or after he signed somewhere else? Because I think that makes a difference for a lot of people. Like, oh, he's gone. Oh, he sucks now, right?
Well, so here, so.
But if they kept him, it's like, oh, that was a good re-sign.
So this is how I'll say this. This is one of my favorite things to do to see if it was a good free agent signing. If I don't know the player, like, obviously I didn't know who Nick Morrow was, but when Rasul Douglas was traded to the Bills, all the Packers fans in the comments were like, no, this sucks. Like, why did we do it? Like, we love Rasul. Like, you'll always have a place here. Like, that kind of reaction, right? Like, that's what you want. You know, it doesn't happen very often.
That's like a money signing. When that yeah, happens,
right? Exactly. You're like, all right, this is what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes they're like, well, you know, he's okay. You know, we'll see. But here, let me show you what I'm. So, like, right here, like, this is like this first comment under it. The first comment under the tweet was, "I'm sorry, Bills fans." Like, right? Like, that's pretty funny. Eric, this guy on Twitter, Eric Redsnick or whatever, he's like, dude looked lost in every Eagles game I watched. Hopefully it's for a core special teamer role. Absolute third string backup behind Dotson and Williams. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think he is behind, well, Dotson is on the team, but he's behind Bernard, Williams, and Milano for sure anyway, so.
Yeah, for sure. He's got to be.
So, for a depth guy with starting experience who's good against the run, I'll take it.
Sorry, Bills fans, was god awful last year.
Yeah.
The only people saying anything positive are Bills fans. Another tackling machine to pair with Milano. Yeah. That's like a Bills fan saying that, and then Eagles fans underneath are like, tackling machine, ha ha ha, lol. It's like 10 crying, laughing emojis. Maybe 20 yards after the first down marker. Not sure who I've seen get burnt more last season, him or Bradbury.
Well, let's also put this in perspective. Out of all the new signings the Bills have had, he's probably second best after Curtis Samuel. I'd put him over Matt Collins. And then after that, it's Mr. Trubisky and Matt Hawk.
Would you put him in number two of a new player? Jeez, you're right. Man, when you say it like that, like...
One's a backup
punter, I don't like Mitchell Trubisky.
So it's really between Hollins and him for the next best guy.
I like Mac Hollins better. I like the wide receiver better. I'll take him over Nick Morrow. That's what I'll say.
Three, four. I mean, Hollins is probably going to be... They're going to draft somebody. So he's going to be the fifth receiver, probably.
Yeah, and probably.
And then Morrow is one, two, three, probably fourth. Maybe he's fifth now. Maybe he's behind Baylen Spector. So.
Yeah, he's definitely behind Baylen Spector at this point. It's got to
so, be. So, yeah, maybe it's similar. It's a similar thing. And if he can play special teams, that might be give him a leg up over Hollins.
So let's see.
I don't know if Hollins plays special teams. Does he?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I did see that. So, yeah.
So we got some special teams to play there.
Yeah, maybe we'll give you Hollins. So Morrow will be third then. The third best signing. New signing.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Man, that doesn't make it. There's not been a lot of good signings. I mean, there's been some good.
But Julian Blackman is visited, and that would bump him up probably to second.
Oh, easily. Absolutely second. Now you have a starting safety alongside, you know, Taylor Rapp.
Maybe even first. It's like a 1A, 1B, I would think. And then I did see that.
Sorry. If what's is it Dorian Blackman? Is that his name? Dorian Blackman? Or is it? I keep on thinking. Jilly. Okay. I keep on thinking Justin Blackman, the wide receiver.
Blackman is the receiver. Yeah.
So Julian Blackman, if he signs, you'd put him on the same level as Curtis Samuel?
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Same tier of signing. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they did a few days ago, Sebastian Joseph Day, defensive tackle, visited Buffalo. I don't think I would put him in the same tier as like Samuel or Blackman, but that would be more depth at defensive tackle, potentially.
You know what's crazy is the Bills were in on Eric Armstead.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like they already have their two starting defensive tackles.
They do a heavy defensive line rotation.
They do.
So they're going to need more than what they have at both those positions, but especially defensive tackle, because they kind of got their top. They already have four at defensive end. Cameron Klein is the fifth. I don't know how that's going to go, but Kingsley Jonathan, AJ Epinesa, Rousseau Miller, like those guys are going to be there no matter what.
Yeah. I know. Tackle,
it's just Oliver Jones and then just like a guy they had, you know,
Eli Anku.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that they brought, we didn't really mention this. I like that they brought back AJ Epinesa. We briefly mentioned it. It was like, to me, it's just like a good solid signing. It reminds me of like a Shaq Lawson that's younger and that has better pass rusher. So he's a better pass rusher than he is a run defender. So like, I like that they signed him because he's still, I think has upside, and he started to really, really show it the last season or so. I like that signing. I think it's good depth. We were just speaking about depth on the defensive tackle. I like that signing, John. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I agree. They did really well with re-signing like all seven guys that they re-signed. I agree with 100%. Ty Johnson, Quentin Morris, who is a exclusive rights free agent. They re-signed him. I think he was exclusive rights.
Yep.
And then David Edwards, he's starting. Daquan Jones, he's starting. AJ Epinesa, who's heavily going to be in the rotation, at least 50%, I would think. Well, maybe he wasn't 50% last year, but he should be close to that. And then Taylor Rapp and Cam Lewis, all those guys I thought were great resigns. Like, if I had to pick anybody else to resign, who would you pick to resign over them out of all the guys that they lost? Not released, but lost. So you have Leonard Floyd, Gabe Davis, Dane Jackson. Maybe Dane Jackson, Sherfield, Punafor, Tyrell Dodson, maybe, and then Tim Settle. Like the guys that they resigned, I think they did well.
Yeah, I like that. I think you said like they kind of hit it out of the park with the guys that they brought back. There was one free agent that you mentioned there. I'm trying to remember who you said that like when they resigned him. I was like, that's great. They brought. Let me see. I'm going through the list.
To clarify, those are free agents that they have already lost to other teams. They're still free agents who haven't been signed yet. like Micah Hyde, Medicavich, Linville Joseph, Jordan.
Oh, the
Phillips,
David Edwards. The David Edwards. Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. They could bring back any of those guys, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
David Edwards, I like that one a lot because to me, it shows that they thought he was that good that they could, you know, not only have him step in for Connor McGovern, but also move Connor McGovern to center, potentially. And that they didn't keep Ryan Bates, because they could have kept Ryan Bates. He could play center, guard, whatever.
Right. And I do like their immediate backups, like Ryan Vandermark, we talked about last offseason. I think he's a really good backup tackle. And then Alec Anderson can play guard or safety. And they still have Tommy Doyle and then a couple other guys. And they're going to draft somebody. They have 11 picks. They're going to draft somebody on the offensive line at some point. So I think they're looking really good on the offensive line. And
so so before we get into like the big board of Bills needs, is there anything else you want to talk about just in general for the free agency discussion thus far, the way that it's happened as of like Monday night late, or is that it?
I think we covered everything.
Because like the way that we left the big board of Bills needs, you know, going into this was, you know, we had wide receiver at the top. We had defensive tackle next. These are our first tier needs, I should say. Wide receiver, defensive tackle, safety, defensive end, and then our second tier, you know, needs offensive line. They're thinking guard, center, but I mean potentially tackle in there as well. Running back, linebacker, backup quarterback, kicker, punter. I think we can probably take backup quarterback off completely.
So I kind of almost have four tiers now instead of two tiers.
Okay.
For the first tier, I think we can make defensive end into the second tier. What do you think?
Because they brought back Epinesa. Okay.
They brought back Epinesa. So they have like four guys already: Miller, Rousseau, Epinesa, and Kingsley Jonathan, plus Cameron Clark. So
I like that.
Four guys that are definitely staying on the roster. Whereas my tier ones receiver, you still need a wide receiver too.
Yep.
Safety, I think you still need another starter.
Oh yeah.
At least. And then defensive tackle, you brought back your starter, but you have no depth whatsoever.
Exactly.
So I think receiver, safety, and defensive tackle are tier one. I'm going to push defensive end into tier two.
By itself or other? Are you going to put?
I was going to put inside offensive lineman, guard/center in with that.
Okay.
Is it like depth thing? Yeah.
That makes sense. So what do you have? Okay. That stands in a second tier all by itself then?
Yeah, those two, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. So then your third tier would be what? Like, it's got to have running back in it too, right?
So
I know you hate running backs.
You know how I feel about running back. So You might feel differently, but my tier three would be cornerback depth by itself.
Oh, okay.
And then my fourth tier would be a running back with returner and then kicker punter. So that shows you how much I value running back. I mean, feel free to bump up running back if you want, but you know, all those drought years where I was complaining about them like drafting and trading for first round running backs when it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So I'm still on that boat.
So I think I like that because I like quarterback being in its own tier because that's a position they're going to draft no matter what. Like they will draft at least one cornerback in this draft. Sure. And because you can never have too many and they always do. I mean, they could pick another seventh round Dane Jackson, you know, and get some depth there. Like, let's hope, right? I mean, they have their two starters, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't, you know, add more to that. So for sure, I like that. And I think I like defense. So wide receiver is our biggest need. We really, you know, just because of the way that the offense runs,
they should probably draft two receivers.
For sure. In the entire draft, absolutely, right?
And maybe two safeties. And two defensive tackles, like those three, they need a lot of
two wide receivers, two defensive tackles, two safeties, two defensive ends, two, you know, centers. I mean,
don't forget, Daquan Jones has been injured each of the last 2 years, and he's getting older.
Yeah,
so that's still really important.
Absolutely. The good thing I will say is that defensive tackle position, which is normally, you know, the one tech defensive tackles, can be found in like the second and third rounds. Usually, you know, like it's not the same. And safety the same way. Like, sure, there's always a couple of safeties that go off the board in the first round, maybe three. But, like, there's usually good depth at safety, like, throughout the draft that you can get one in the third or fourth round. So,
yeah.
I'm going to say I still like defensive tackle. I think Bean kind of showed his hand a little bit going after Eric Armstead. I think they think defensive tackle is a big need, even though they have both. So I think that should still say number two in our list of needs.
I agree.
And then safety, just I think that they'll draft one. Would I be surprised if they went to our next tier and got defensive end over safety? No. I think it's probably pretty likely, but I think that need is less. Plus, I mean, you and I have talked about it so far since the Super Bowl. We think that Von Miller will come back to form, maybe not to what he was in 2022, but he'll definitely be better than 2023. I shouldn't say definitely because we never know, but like my guess is that he will be back to that level.
Yeah. I mean, he's always been known to be optimistic. He's betting on himself based on taking a pay cut. He can make it all back in incentives. So he's betting on himself, and he's super optimistic, and I can respect that. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I have a good feeling about it. I mean, the guy's a former Hall of Famer. He was playing well before the injury. He's come back from the injury before. I think he was just too optimistic, and he pushed himself a little too hard. Who knows? But anytime I've ever heard a player talk about him, they're never like, well, you know, he tried, or, you know, he just couldn't do it this year. They're just like, Vaughn is, it's just, he's so good. Like, they just can't help but, like, praise the guy, even when he had a terrible year. You know, like he's going to come back, I think. So don't quote me on that. I think I just have a good feeling. I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, those guys just don't go away. I mean, Bruce Smith was playing well up until he was about 40, right, John? I mean, you know, you're talking the best to ever do it, but one of the best. But
yeah. Well, Von Miller's up there. I mean, not Bruce Smith, but like he's a Hall of Famer, I think.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He's absolutely a Hall of Famer. So, and it wasn't like he looked terrible before the injury. It's just the injury, and you know, we just thought he was going to come back.
No, he looked really good before the injury. Like, it was a win-win and up until that.
Yeah, exactly. We loved the signing before that. So, defensive end, interior offensive lineman, you know, center. Would you be surprised if the Bills went center in the first round? I wouldn't be. Would you?
Yeah, I wouldn't draft a center in the first round.
You wouldn't, or you don't think it'll happen?
I would not. And I also don't think it would happen.
Really? You think that they're that set on Connor McGovern, who's only played like 100 snaps in center at the NFL level and hasn't played State?
I think a draft pick would be plan C. So, and I don't think they're going to do a first round pick on a plan C. I think the first round pick is either going to be wide receiver or defensive player.
Interesting.
Whether it's on the line or maybe safety, but that's where I'm at. And it really depends on where the draft falls, but I think it's receiver or defensive player.
I think they go into this draft thinking defensive tackle is their biggest need. But I think if those guys are gone, I think they definitely take a hard look at wide receiver for sure. And if their guys are like, or if they're in another tier, then they definitely go defensive tackle. And if those guys are gone, I could see them going for safety or edge or center. I know I just listed five positions at the first round.
The receiver depth is funny too. Like, you have that top end, and then like the next set of guys doesn't necessarily fit who the Bills should take necessarily. So then at that point, it's like, well, we'll just wait for the next set of guys who is a better fit, you know, that kind of thing.
Then those guys get all drafted.
Right. So either they trade up or they wait. They could be a second round receiver, and the first guy could be a defensive lineman, tackle or end. I mean, I don't think they're taking a center. They're going to take safety over center in the first round if it came down to it.
Okay. I just see a world. It's not what I think will happen. I just see a world where it could happen. I think it's unlikely, but that's my dark horse first round candidate is something.
Well, I mean,
that
if there's an infinite number of universes, obviously there's going to be the one time that something happens, but I don't think that's going to be the case this time around.
Yeah.
This is not Rick and Morty where you're just going to be like, oh, we'll just go over here and they can do this.
Yeah. Is there there's a universe where the Bills win the Super Bowl every single year, you know?
Jealous of the universe.
And then there's a universe where we're watching this happen. Like, you and I are exactly watching this happen every year. And we're probably getting bored with it. We're probably like, ugh, Like, could they not win for once? We're getting, you know.
7-9 again for the 60th season in a row? Wait a minute. I think that happened.
We lived that universe. We were in there. The only thing that took us out of that universe was Sean McDermott and, you know, Brandon Bean. So, yeah, so, okay, I like that board right now. I mean, things could change. There could be another free agent signing. Because if safety gets signed, right. I'm going to – if they do sign Julian Blackman, I'm moving that down to, like, geez, third or fourth tier at this point, safety.
That's interesting because I think they could sign a couple of free agent safeties potentially, which would move it down the board a lot. Blackman, Rapp, and Lewis.
And DeMar Hamlin.
I mean, he's Kendall started. Williamson. But yeah, I guess if they signed Blackman, that maybe it's already third, right? Like, so forget the tiers. We have safety third and defensive end fourth. Would you move defensive end above safety if they signed Blackman?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think they would.
I could see that.
Yeah, if they have two starters, and I mean, we know how much Bean loves drafting edge rushers. I think he does.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's close, but I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I still think it's possibly close. I still think they want a young guy there.
Now, if they get Blackman and bring Hyde back or some other safety, then definitely that's what we know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if they bring Hyde back that they won't look at safety?
I think they'll still draft somebody at some point, but yeah, I don't but think not... it's going to be as high of a priority. If they get brought in Hyde and Blackman.
That's not a day one, day two pick. Basically, our top two tiers are day one, day two picks. Like, it's unlikely that they go to the third or fourth tier for a day one or day two pick.
Right.
Maybe corner, but.
Well, yeah, so I think it might still be a tier two, right? Maybe.
What, cornerback?
No, safety.
Safeties, yeah.
Like, if they brought back Hyde and they got Blackman, even if we move safety from three to five or six, it's probably still tier two, right? You still need it.
I'll tell you what. I have to look at the contract and the player before I decide, because if it's Micah Hyde on a one-year contract, I'd move him down from first tier to second tier, but I still could see them drafting a day two or day, you know, early day three.
Right. I think receiver and defensive tackle are definitely the top two no matter what.
Yes.
It's just how you tier it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we moved defensive end down because they brought back AJ Epenesa. So if they bring back another safety like Micah Hyde, or if they bring another, you know.
Yeah. Well, they got four defensive ends now. Well, five, but like mm-hmm. four legitimate ones. And like people are saying like, oh, Kingsley Jonathan should get more time with Von Miller. Like that, like, and that's not a terrible take based on what we saw last year.
No. Well, what do you think about this? Like now that we're
and they got Rousseau and Epenesa now.
Now that we're talking about it, wide receiver, defensive tackle, and safety are tier one. And then our second tier is defensive end and interior offensive line, like center guard.
And that's the depth. That's pure depth.
That's pure depth. I would argue.
And only if plan A and B fail at center. So Connor McGovern and Alec Anderson would have to fail at center for the center draft pick to work out.
I think, John, that center should be higher than defensive end. And I'm going to say this because I mentioned this earlier. I think that they'll start Connor McGovern. They have a plan in place. But if something comes their way and a guy falls to them, I think they take him. That with him potentially either being the future center for the team or he becomes the starting center in the first year. Like, I think that that's a position that they look at. I don't think that they love Connor McGovern, but like I said, they have to say someone. They have to say we have a plan in place, because if they don't, then someone's going to steal him from them in some round of the draft.
They're not going to ignore completely.
They definitely don't draft one.
They're not reaching for a center though.
I wonder if they move up for one. Not in the first, probably not in the second. I think it's a scenario where if it falls to them in the first, they might take one, but more likely the second, or I guess they don't have a third round pick, so the fourth round picks, right?
Yeah, that's the tough part. They don't have a third. 11 picks, but no third round. But, you know, who knows? They could always trade a player and a pick to move up to some spot. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's possible that they do. Yep, no.
Like Kyrie Elam.
Dude, nobody wants Kyir Elam. Who would take him? You try to trade him away.
Former first round pick. Somebody's like, oh, I could make something out of this guy. These guys didn't know what they're doing. Like a coach that was on his staff at the time is like, oh, or a scout was like, oh, dude, I was with this guy. This guy's awesome.
Didn't get a fair shake in Buffalo.
Yeah, these things can happen.
Eric Washington at the Bears, maybe that's something that he works on. They send Kyir Elam in like a fourth to get a third or something, you know?
No, I like Jamarcus Ingram better than Kyir Elam at this point.
I like a lampshade better than Kyir Elam at this point. I mean, this it's like he just hasn't.
Well, let's not get crazy, but no. So, I'm being honest here. Like, I think, yeah, I mean, it's okay that you know that you didn't hit on a pick. It's fine.
It's fine because they hit on Christian Benford that same draft. But remember, that draft was deep at corner, and the last time the draft was deep at wide receiver, the Bills took two. They took Gabe Davis and Isaiah Hodgins. Sure, they were day three picks, but they took two of them. This year is another deep wide receiver class. They have to take two at some point. I don't care if it's one on day one, one on day two.
I agree. They should take two. I don't know why Andy Isabella should be on the roster or.
Yeah,
KJ Hamler's a flyer kind of thing, but
everyone's a flyer after the first three.
Honestly, like there's like eight guys, but there's really only four: Diggs, Samuel, Shakir, and Hollins.
Are the four guys. Hollins only because he's a special teams player, not because he's this amazing wide receiver.
And they just signed him, so they're not going to cut him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess they could. They could cut him.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
That's happened before, but yeah, that's it. Shorter, Isabella, Shavers, Thompson, and Hamler, probably not going to be on the team, or at least some combination of those, right? A lot of those guys are going to be training camp body.
John.
They got four guys, and they're going to draft two. That's six.
Mac Hollins has been in the league since 2017. He has had one season in his entire career that's had over 300 yards receiving. He has had one. He's never had a season where he scored five touchdowns. Like
That's why I had Moreau over Hollins on my free agent new signing list. Moreau was my number two after Curtis Samuel. Remember we had this.
You mean Hunter Renfrow?
No, Nicholas Moreau.
Oh, Nicholas Moreau. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about
my number two free agent signing after Curtis Samuel because I wasn't too keen on Matt Collins. We just went through this, and then the only other two signings are Trubisky and Hawk. And Hawk doesn't really count because he was on the practice squad, right?
Yeah. They brought him because of Sam Martin's injury,
right?
And I was like a hobbled Sam Martin. A Sam Martin with half a leg is still better than Matt Hawk.
Yeah, and they signed Matt Hawk for 1 year and $1 million. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, they might cut him. I mean, it's very likely that they do cut him.
They're going to save one of the money. Two punters. I don't know if it matters which.
Imagine if they could draft a guy too as more competition.
They could. I don't know.
It's unlikely, but
all right. So we got our needs right: receiver, defensive tackle, safety, maybe end, maybe inside. So. Out of the free agents that are available before the draft, is there anybody that you like at receiver or safety, defensive tackle, defensive end? Or I almost want to bring up running back because you know how I hate drafting running backs.
You hate drafting running backs.
Although, I mean, if it's like a late pick or undrafted free agent, those are fine. But there are some interesting running backs that are still available in free agency, like Ezekiel Elliott or Cordell Patterson or J.K. Dobbins. On a cheap contract. Now, all these guys have their own issues. Patterson's old. Patterson is one of those guys that, I mean, he was a receiver. They kind of transitioned to running back. And then you get Elliott, who's kind of like more of a bruiser. They're both older. Like Patterson's 33. Elliott's 29. Dobbins is only 24, but he's had a significant injury history. But for backup, you could get any of those guys for cheaper.
That would be like, if they got Dobbins, it'd almost be like getting that Damian Harris, signing Damian Harris last year. You know, it would just, it made sense, but like you weren't expecting a whole lot, and sure enough, he got injured, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, they got Ty Johnson, but they and they got Darrington Evans, but they kind of still need another guy. Or, well, probably two guys after the draft, but like at least one more guy that might even be better than Ty Johnson.
Dude, I like Cordarrelle Patterson, and the only reason, I know he's older, but he does not have anywhere near the mileage that Ezekiel Elliott has.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
And
he's more versatile, too. Like, he can do more things.
Exactly. Which is kind of similar to how James Cook is. James Cook is versatile, right?
Like, but the Bills do like having a bruiser back as a backup running back, too. Like, the like Latavius Murray, and, you know, they had, what's his face, a few, I don't remember. They even brought back, like, Frank Gore 1 year, or that might have even been before this regime.
No, I think it was during this regime.
Yeah, there's always, like, some real old guy that's, like, a bruising whatever that they like to have as a second or third running back. So that's why I think Elliott might be on the table at some point.
Yeah.
But I like Patterson, too. Like, if we're just talking free agents and Dobbins, obviously.
Well, it's like if you look at who the Bills got to go along with James Cook last year, you mentioned Latavius Murray, Damian Harris. Like, those guys were bigger bruisers. I mean, sure, some of them could, like Latavius Murray, he could receive out of the backfield, but he wasn't necessarily known for that as much as, you know, running between the tackles. I think that they get a guy that's, yeah, if they choose one, who I would like, I would rather have Cordarrelle Patterson. Who I think they choose, I think they go for an Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and that's if they even pick another free agent running back, but they might do that and then go like an undrafted or seventh round pick or whatever, just as long as it's not a second or third round or higher. I don't like that. And there's a ton of safeties still available. So, I mean, Mike Hyde was just one example, and we already talked about Julian Blackman. But there's other guys, Justin Simmons, Jordan Whitehead, and then receiver. I don't know. I don't think it's – I wouldn't go after any more free agent receivers. Well, I would just draft guys at this point.
I mean, I think that they could bring another guy in for like a 1 year – like $2 million deal, sort of like a Trent Sherfield sort of thing. I think like you could look at a guy like Byron Pringle. You know, no matter what, you're either going to have a guy that doesn't have a lot of success that's older or banged up. Like that's just what's available now, you know?
Yeah. Though, I mean, you could bring in Mike Williams, who's 29, who's going to cost a bunch. I'm trying to look at who I like.
Yeah,
I
they're mean, not bringing Sharks, in Michael Williams.
DJ Sharks maybe, but that's not going to move the meter Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas. I love Michael Thomas. But like at this point in their careers, it's like they've been injured and I just go to the draft at this point. It's a deep class, draft two guys, and let's see what we got.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why they drafted two corners that year. Like you talked about before. It's like, all right, we'll hit on one of them. We draft a first round guy and Benford was what, sixth round?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like I look at defensive tackle, a lot of older guys, Fletcher Cox, Shelby Harris, John Jenkins, they're real. A lot older guys. I think I said before, Sebastian Joseph Day visited Buffalo. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. There's a few defensive ends.
Kyle Van Noy still available, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
Bud Dupree.
Remember that 1 year we're all like, oh, the Bills should get Yannick. Let's go all in on Yannick. And now he's available again. He had a bad year last year, but like. He's only 29, maybe. Maybe they can get a cheap deal.
All of these players I know because I don't watch a lot of them play. It's because Bills fans wanted them at one point or another all over it.
Calais Campbell at 38 years old is available. Oh, my gosh.
I could see the Bills signing. Of course, we're recording this on Monday night, and by the time this podcast is released, the Bills could sign Julian Blackman. But it sounds exactly like what they want to go from, like, a Mike – Micah Hyde sort of, he's like a center field sort of safety, you know, he tracks the ball well, he has ball, you know, top-notch ball skills. It's just his injury history is
and it seems like he's improved on his coverage skills since he's been in the league, so I mean and he's young,
26,
so
exactly, like, he's 26, it's young,
so yeah, I mean, that's Clowney's available, he's 31, defensive end. I don't know, that's all I got.
Yeah, same here. We'll see. I mean, we could mention 25 guys and they won't even sniff one. So cool. Well, this has been fun kind of getting back into the groove. This is gonna, you know, our big board of Bills needs is gonna determine where we start looking at draft picks, you know, players that the Bills could look at with the, and I think that's kind of where we're gonna start headed, because we have about 6 weeks until the draft at this point. So let's start talking about some of these players that could be available in round one or maybe round two are players that have been mocked to the Bills in those rounds because, you know, Osiris Torrance was the most mocked player to the Buffalo Bills last year. And that was the first round pick, though, and they ended up getting him in the second round. So, you know, there's something to that a little bit. So we'll be keeping our eyes on that. John, any final thoughts before we end this this fantastic free agency summary roundup?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. Well, thank you guys all for listening. Thanks for, you know, sticking around for a couple of weeks when we didn't post anything. Obviously, a lot of things have been going on. I did not plan my vacation around free agency. It just kind of happened, you know, when the hotel was available. So this has been a lot of fun. If you guys are interested, you could definitely leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You know, subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. We definitely appreciate it. If you guys have any interest in any draft prospects that you want to talk about or whatever, or guys that you think the Bills should look at in round 1, 2, 3, 4, anywhere in the draft, feel free to email us ctwpod@gmail.com or send us a DM over any social media account, and we can read it, you know, next week or in the coming weeks of the podcast, because we're going to be looking at these prospects and we're also going to be doing some mock drafts along with the draft like we have done last season and previous seasons before that. So a lot of fun stuff ahead. You know, the Bills are only going to get better. Dude, speaking of free agent moves, there's been a lot. I was glad that the Dolphins re-signed or extended Tua Tagovailoa for an extension. That was good to see. Kind of reminded me a little bit of the Ryan Tannehill. I think he's better than Ryan Tannehill, obviously, but like that signing where I was like, yes, I was like, we don't really know if he's the guy for sure. Like, just extend him. Just spend that big money, man. You know, it was good to see Christian Wilkins leave. That was nice to see. He's a really good player. It's always good to see those good players leave the division. So, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you guys again all for listening. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. So, signing off for John.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. The future is bright, and we will talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate. Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.